When you are in this moment where you feel this struggle, this back and forth of you trying to control your own life opposed to letting Jesus control your life, you will have complete rest at the moment. If you're feeling that tiredness, if you're feeling that struggle, if you're feeling that feeling of just like, yo, I just need some respite. I need some rest. And Jesus is that rest. Like, he really is. And knowing him for exactly who he is and giving yourself fully up to him, man, it will fulfill you in ways that you would never even imagine.
Stop by grace. I know you listen to this right now, you probably saying, why am I here today? But I'm here to tell you that you were stopped by grace, stop in your tracks, stop to let you know that you were made to be somebody. Renew your mind, know who you were called to be. Stop by grace. Listen and learn.
Welcome to the episode of Stop by Grace Podcast. I'm your host, Richard A. Irvin, and I'm so happy to be back with you all. And today we have a special guest, Byron Coddell. He's a pastor of Identity Church. He also is a podcast host, a father, a husband. And I've saw this brother on Instagram with a couple of videos about his Bible time and different kind of tips to read the Bible and everything like that. And I said, I had to have this brother on the show to share his wisdom. And I want to know more about his personal testimony. But I know I still have things to grow upon. And I know this man have a lot of wisdom to share with us. And he has so much going on right now. He's planted a church in, I think it's Florida, right? And he's planting a church right now. He's telling his story. So I want to talk more about that as well, too. And let's bring him into the show. So, Byron, how are you doing, my brother?
What's going on, man? I'm doing pretty well.
I'm blessed. So
I hear you. I hear you.
So for people that don't know much about you, give a little introduction of who you are and what you're doing currently and everything like that.
Yeah. You did a pretty good job, man. My name is Byron Coddell, a church planter, pastor, a husband, father. Originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and then I moved to Daytona Beach, Florida to go to school, to go to college, and that was about 16, 17 years ago. And then I fell in love with the city that I moved to go to college, which is Daytona Beach, Florida, and then eventually moved into the ministry. I'll get some more details in a little bit, but moved into the ministry in about 2014-15 area time. And that moved us to Memphis, Tennessee. And then we moved back here to Daytona Beach, Florida in 2017, where we started laying the groundwork for planting Identity Church, which is, this is why you got Identity on the shirt. But man, I'm all around creative. I have a degree in public relations and advertising, and have always just been a creative person. So I've done pretty much everything related to creativity, video production and graphic design and clothing design and all that type of stuff. And I try to incorporate those gifts into what we do in ministry as well. So yeah, that's a little small chunk about me.
That's great. So for Identity Church, what is the mission? What is the vision for that church? How did it all started from that?
Yeah. So when my wife and I got married in 2013, and we were attending the same church at the time, and it was a huge mega church. And we went there just because there was a lot of opportunity to serve and do ministry. And after a while, the Lord kind of pulled us away from that place. And one of the biggest parts of why he pulled us away from that place was because we were reading the scriptures, and we both had a hunger for discipleship. And we also had a hunger for true diversity within the church. And also, man, we wanted a place that had right theology and right worship, right? So often you get one or the other, like you get really, really good worship, and then you have to kind of suffer with the theology a little bit. And then, or you go to another place and theology is really high, but the worship is like, you know, it's not as lively, spirit filled and all that type of stuff. So we began dreaming about a church like that. And we tried pretty much every church in our city and in our county. And we weren't believers in like traveling to different cities to go to different churches. So we just began to pray about the Lord giving us an opportunity to be a part of a church that was diverse by his will and not by man's. That was disciple making. So they were truly not just wanting to see people saved, but wanting to see people grown up in the faith and have people walk with them as they're looking to look more like Jesus every single day. And a place that was just spirit filled, both theologically and worship wise. So as we began praying for that, we also just began casting vision for that and asking other people if they felt that same need. And a lot of people were saying that same thing. So we began to pray that the Lord give us that opportunity to be a part of that church. And it wasn't too long after that that I started kind of feeling a calling for a church planting. So, and that just came in the form of, hey, the thing that you have a desire for, God has given you that desire for a reason, and he's going to be with you to see that vision lived out. So in 2015, we began just kind of proclaiming it and saying, hey, the Lord's called us to plant a church. We didn't really know how, why, where, who with. We didn't know any of that. We just knew God was leading us to plant a church. But one thing I am a firm believer in is having other people affirm you and having other people just kind of look at your conduct, your character, your work ethic, your gifting, and be able to say, no, God is doing this thing and he does want to use you to do that. So we put ourselves under the care of another ministry that was here in town, while also putting ourselves under care of a ministry that's in Memphis, Tennessee. And between those two churches, they affirmed our vision, which was that vision that we talked about. One is multi-ethnic, this gospel-centered, this disciple-making. And to add a little spice to that, there were a lot of churches in the city, and there still are a lot of churches in the city that love God and love people, but don't love the city. Like, they're desperately looking to be an island within our city. And we don't believe that that's how the Bible describes what a church is. We believe that a church should be a part of the city, not blending in with the sinfulness or the darkness of the city, but to be a shining light within the darkness of that city. So we are very city focused as well. And Identity Church is in the area of town that we call Midtown Daytona Beach. And our commitment to Midtown is big. So that those four things are the things that are distinctives for our church, that we are gospel centered, disciple making. We are diverse by design, and we are in the city. We are a part of what God is doing in our particular area of town.
Hey, man, that's great. I love that vision. I love how that correlates within the church. The church should be a foundation for a city, a nation, everything like that, because people are going there that's hungry for God and need that kind of nurturing for people. So I love that. Now you've planted a church and you're doing this podcast, you're doing everything like that. How did this, what is your testimony? How did that all start? What is your personal testimony from the beginning?
Yeah, so man, I got saved as an adult. So I was 23 years old, and man, the Lord is just so gracious and kind. I grew up in a Christian household. My parents are good Christians. They weren't overzealous at all. So they never, like, you know, I didn't grow up in one of those households where people like, you got to go to church and you got to do this and you got to do that. It wasn't that, but they went and they were faithful in that, and they displayed their faith. They didn't teach me their faith, but they displayed it. So, like, I tell people all the time, I have vivid memories of my dad on his knees praying at night. And that just kind of sat in the back of my head. When I was a kid, I got baptized as a kid. I proclaimed faith as a kid, but I didn't truly have a relationship with Jesus at all. And that came to light when I came to college. Like, when I came to college and realized, hey, I think the reason why I was living within this Christian bubble is because it was safe. And what I care most about, or what I did care most about at that time, was that people liked me and that my reputation was good, right? So Christianity helped preserve that. But when I got to college and I'm disconnected from where I grew up, my family, all that type of stuff, you know, I didn't really see the need for it. And I definitely didn't have a love and relationship for Jesus. And I lived my college years that way. I did what I wanted to. I was involved in a lot of stuff that just wasn't good and it wasn't pure at all. And I just lived the college experience. But then when I graduated from college, I was blessed to get a career job within 5 months of me graduating college, which is, you know, back then was just like unheard of. Like, you know, you usually had to work your way up, your internship to a part-time joint and get connected with a lot of people. But I got my first career job within 5 months. And I was a publicist for a hospital. I handle all the public relations and not advertising, but the public relations and community relations for a hospital system of three different hospitals that were all under one. So here I am, 23 years old, black, 23-year-old male coming from a historically black college, sitting in boardrooms with millionaires and 60-year-old, 70-year-old people who've been doing these jobs for years, and they're asking me my opinion on how to position the hospital from a public relations standpoint. In my mind, I had made it. I was like, yo, this is it. Like, you know, I got my own apartment. My car is paid off. I'm getting paid more money than I would have ever expected to be paid. And I'm in my career at 23 years old. And in that season of life, I felt the most empty that I've ever felt in my entire life. Like, I literally had no reason for why I was living. You know, it only took a little time for me to realize, like, yo, what's the end? What's the end of all of this? Like, where do I go? Yeah, I can keep going up and keep succeeding and advancing, but what's the end of all of this? And one night, man, in 2012, the Lord spoke to me, and I felt like he was saying, why are you running from me? And I was just sitting on my couch just like this. It was a Monday night, 9:43 p.m., and I just began to cry, bro. Like, I cried for literally an hour, just an hour straight of tears. And because I knew how sinful I was, like, I'd grown up in this Christian household. I had that foundation. I knew the Bible well. I just did not want to make room for Jesus in my heart. That's it. That's it. That was it. And at that moment, about an hour after that happened, I just said to God, my prayer of faith was, God, I've tried to do it my way, but I believe I need to do it your way. And that was it. That was like, boom, that was it. I went to sleep that night. I called into work the next morning, and I took 2 days off, and I read the Bible and prayed for 2 days. And that Wednesday, I went to church, and I just walked in and was like, yo, I got saved on Monday. Like, what do I do? And which really speaks to my mindset, that I felt like salvation led to action, right? Like, it was something that I needed to do and not something I needed to believe or be. And man, they didn't give me an answer. They didn't give me an answer at all. All they did was make room for me to serve. And it was in my serving in that church that I heard the testimonies of men and women of faith that really made it clear to me that the journey with the Lord is a journey of faith and not a journey of doing. And you do out of your love and your faith in Jesus, not because you want to be loved by Jesus. So from that moment on, man, I just was walking with the Lord and just hadn't stopped since. And that was my life-changing moment in 2012.
So I call that a stop by grace moment. You was doing all these things, but yet you still felt not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And for those people that are watching, like that have that like kind of like feeling also as well too, and What was your main thing you were thinking in that moment to help people to also understand that no matter what you are doing, like some people that's in corporate have this all this money, all this success, but yet still feel empty, or people are in sports or having all these girls and whatever the case may be, they strive to do more and more and more of, they still can't find a fulfillment. So what was that one thing that caught your attention to God? Yeah. To like draw you there.
Well, man, so I don't believe I had any sort of progressive revelation in a sense. I think I was just enamored by the fear of the Lord. So I think at that moment when the Lord spoke to me, the fear of the Lord was enticed in a sense. And it didn't take me any time at all to recognize the voice of God. It didn't take me like anytime. Like, I was like, yo, this is God. But when I look back on it in a retrospective way, I realized how tired I was. Like, I was achieving, I was having fun, I was in relationships with a lot of people. I did a lot, but I was tired. My soul was tired. And for people who are on that hamster wheel, I would just say, man, the Lord offers rest in him. Like, faith in Jesus is not just about like, okay, let me upgrade my life. It's not that, because I will tell you, like, straight out, my life kind of took a downturn after that. Like, I wasn't at that job too much longer after that. My relationships kind of fell apart. My friendships fell apart. But what I felt and what I knew, what I had at that moment, was fullness of joy, because I felt the presence of the Lord with me. And when you are in this moment where you feel this struggle, this back and forth of you trying to control your own life opposed to letting Jesus control your life, you will have complete rest at the moment that you abandon, you know, whatever you had. You abandon that struggle and you give yourself over to Jesus. So if you're feeling that tiredness, if you're feeling that struggle, if you're feeling that feeling of just like, yo, I just need some respite, I need some rest. And Jesus is that rest. Like, he really is. And knowing him for exactly who he is and giving yourself fully up to him, man, it will fulfill you in ways that you would never even imagine.
I think that brings us to like the Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Yes. So that is the perfect verse to describe what you just said, because people striving to do more and more and more. I think I had an episode on this before talking about how people trying to do the best they could do to try to either beat that addiction, beat that habit, try to find joy and happiness or something that's not going to fulfill it. But yet Jesus saying, you tried. Now it's my turn to give you the full package, the full package of joy, the full package of happiness. And that is amazing to just know that people out there that might be feeling that way, you're not alone. I mean, right. Byron showed you right now his testimony as now in ministry and as pastor and doing all the things for the Lord. He had that moment of wanting rest. So I believe that's an amazing thing. So
to interrupt you a little bit, get this though. You have the same struggle once you become a Christian. Like, we are tempted with that same thing once we become Christians, because what I've seen far too often is people cast their faith on Jesus. They give this full reckless abandon. They're like, yo, God, whatever you want for my life. And then they get married or they have a kid or they get a different job or something happens in their life where they shift their focus a little bit more off of Jesus bit by bit. And next thing they know, they're tired again. They're frustrated again. They don't feel whole again. And what we have to realize is our faith in Jesus is not a one-time deal. It's a one-time deal to have salvation, but you constantly have to have faith in Jesus to get the rest that Jesus offers you. So you're constantly running back to this well of living water. That's why it says daily bread. Give us, Lord, our daily bread, because we need God every single moment of the day to be able to survive. The times where we feel the most empty, it's because we've gotten tired of running back to the spring of living water or running back to the table where the living bread is. We think, hey, we can make it happen. God gave me a good boost. Now it's up to me to keep it going. No. One of the best things we can do for our spiritual lives is find this regular rhythm of resting in Jesus. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but what I can tell you is that's likely rooted in the things that stir your affections for God and the things that allow for you to hear God's voice most clearly. If you keep running back to those places, you'll likely avoid getting into these pits where you're just tired and frustrated all the time, even while you're trying to walk with Jesus.
Man, we could just end it right there. That's so good. That is so good to just hear that. Now, from this correlates with what we're just talking about now, you have a podcast called Tell the Story, Doc. And it's talking about the journey from you planning the church. And then one of the episodes I was listening to recently talk about you almost quitting. Yeah. And this basically, I wanted to base this episode on that, and you going perfect with it. Because people right now feel like they want to quit, but they need rest from God. And I want to just go more deeper into that episode, because you talked about that, how you almost quit planning the church. You felt like, you know, things wasn't going the way you planned or whatever. So go more elaborate on that, and what was really the point that you wanted to continue on striving for God?
Yeah. So we launched Identity Church in 2019, in September of 2019. And if you're unfamiliar with how church planting works, it's you're basically just starting a new ministry from scratch. And it's a combination of taking people who are already walking with Jesus and also people who are not walking with Jesus and trying to create a new community, right, for worship. And 2019, we launched, we were good. Like, we very much thought that, okay, like, we got it rolling, the Lord's going to bless it, and, you know, we're going to see some growth. And we did. We saw some growth, especially coming into 2020. In February of 2020, our church doubled in size. Like, I say doubled in size, it's not like we didn't go from 100 to 200. We went from like 35 to 65 or 70 or whatever in like 2 weeks. And man, we were just so excited. Like, we were like, God is doing some amazing stuff. And then COVID hit. And when our church doubled in size, it doubled in size based off of college students. We're right next to a university, Bethune-Cookman University. And, you know, we had a lot of dreams and plans and vision about how we would use the university's presence to help build this community. And all of a sudden, all of the college students are back home. So we don't have a place of worship because we were meeting in a school. All the schools are shut down. Our college students are living 90% of their lives on digital technology, and they did not want to do church on digital technology. And the rest of our church was older families, right? So they're kind of, you know, trying to figure out how to navigate this whole thing. To make a long story shorter, by the end of 2020, I was tired. Like, I was maxed out. I realized I already had started the church. We had started the church in an unhealthy way. But I felt like, okay, once we get the ball rolling, maybe we can, like, fix some things. And COVID exposed all of that. And it got down to the point where I was doing everything by myself. Like, I was leading everything. I was preaching the sermons. I was recording the sermons. I was editing the sermons. I was communicating with everybody. I had very little help in those areas. And by October of 2020, I was tired, and I really didn't see a way for us to survive. We were running out of money. We were running out of support, and people were leaving. And man, I just took a week off, and I prayed and talked to a lot of my mentors. And what I kept hearing was, man, you need rest. Man, you need rest. I'm like, how do I get rest? Like, I just started a church. Like, this is new. Like, who opens a restaurant and then just says, like, I'm going on vacation, right? But they were saying, like, no, it's mandatory. And I had one particular pastor. He's out in California. His name is Albert Tate. He's a great pastor. He said to me, would it be possible for you to just take a break? Like, could you just hit pause on everything right now? I was like, I don't know, maybe. And man, the Lord deposited in my wife and I that we would take a 3-month church-wide sabbatical. 3-month church-wide. So every single person in our church, it wasn't a lot of people, we would give them 3 months away from worshiping with us as a church, 3 months away from doing Bible studies and groups and all that type of stuff, and give them just an opportunity to catch their breath and reflect on everything that happened within 2020. We had quite a few people in our family, our church family, who had family members who had passed away. We had experienced a lot of loss. So we told people, hey, 4 things. We want you to reflect on what's happened during the year. We want you to reconnect with God. We want you to rest. And then if you feel like the Lord is leading you back to identity, recommit. We went into that church-wide sabbatical, honestly, my family, not knowing whether we would come out. We were prepared to tell people at the end of the 3 months, hey, we'll find you another pastor, but we can't continue. And within probably 3 weeks of that church-wide sabbatical, the Lord made it clear to my wife and I that, yes, we were to continue to plant this church. It just was not going to look the way that we thought it was going to look. And that revelation actually came through rest. It came through reconnecting with God. It came through us just spending more time with each other and with God together. So I did nothing but wake up in the morning, take my kids to school, and then walk for an hour and pray. I embraced silence and solitude during that time. I really like doubled down on spiritual rhythms. And the same thing I said earlier, I identified what stirred my affections for God, and I did those things every single day.
Hold up.
And that is what made me feel
that,
alive. Again.
That is amazing. We're going to have to bring you back on this to talk about those patterns and stuff like that, because that's a whole different topic right there. I love that too, as well, too. But that's a revelation, because you got saved pretty much the same way God is like transforming the way your vision for the church was. Because you say you rest, you reconnected with God because you already had a relationship with God before, and solitude, and you allow God to guide you to the right direction that he wanted you to go instead of you doing it yourself.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I hadn't thought about that. That's good. Yeah, man. So we went from this place of hopelessness to now seeing what the Lord was doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Same thing.
Where we thought, like, looking back on it, I can say that I probably was trying to show the Lord what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
As a church planner. But he was trying to show me what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I realized not only did I need the rest, everybody around me needed rest.
Man, because they connected to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, man, coming out of that, like my biggest desire was, hey, I want to love people well.
Amen.
I want to teach people how to rest well. And I want to listen for the voice of God well.
That's good.
And let's just take it as slow as possible. So when we restarted our church, we just met on Zoom on Sunday mornings and we prayed and I did like a devotional. And then we just talked to one another about what our spiritual lives were like.
Mm.
And that was the foundation of replanting identity.
Amen. That's amazing. I love that, because the connection with it, like from your testimony, from how God is bringing you, how God has brung you, and now you doing more for God, it's amazing to hear that. And I think people that are listening had probably that moment in their life as well, too, where they wanted to quit either in life and job and probably even their family. People, marriages are probably failing and they feel like, I want to quit this time. But God wants you to rest upon him, rest in him, rest in his presence, rest in his word, and reconnect with him to see what direction he wants you to go instead of us trying to do it our own way. And so I think it's an amazing testimony for sure. 100%. We already at the 30-minute mark, but I always let all my guests to get the final word. So for you, Byron, you right now talking to your 13-year-old self.
Oh man.
What is something you would tell your 13-year-old self right now?
13-year-old self. Gosh. I was 13. I was a freshman in high school, I think. Man. I think I would tell my 13-year-old self the same thing I would tell myself today, which is stop and listen. Stop and listen for the voice of God. I think you can probably tell just off my testimony, I am a very active person and a very, like, I'm a mover and a shaker. I'm always going. And my brain is always going. And as I approach my relationship with God, I approach it that way of, hey, I'm going and I hope you're going with me. And if I could see my 13-year-old self and speak to him, I would just say, man, stop and listen for the voice of God. Because had I stopped and listened for the voice of God at 13, I likely would have been walking with God a little bit earlier. But God's plans are perfect, man. And I'm so appreciative that he caught me at 23, because it was what happened between 13 and 23 that really made me reflect and say, man, God is so good that I want to give everything I have to him. I've given I'm glad you said 13, because between 13 and 23, I did everything I could for myself. And at 23, I realized it wasn't enough. So yeah, stop and listen for the voice of
God. Amen. You were stopped by grace. Byron, for all the people who are listening, how can they find you? How can they contact with you if you're in Dakota? Yeah. how can you get in contact with the church, Identity Church? What is the address? What's the website? Whatever people need to do to get in contact with you, go ahead and drop those things.
Yeah, you can find me at Byron L. Cogdale on absolutely everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I think TikTok too. I think it's Byron L. Cogdale on everything. If you want to see more about what's going on in Identity, look up Identity Daytona on everything. IdentityDaytona.org, Identity Daytona on Instagram and TikTok as well, and on Facebook as well, Identity Daytona. If you're in the Daytona Beach area, you want to come check us out. We're at 565 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard, just a block away from Bethune-Cookman University. And of course, we got to say love Daytona, because that's what we say right here in our city, love Daytona. So if you're in the Daytona Beach area, come to Midtown, come see Identity. And we're in a building that we call the Connect, which is a multi-use ministry space right here in Midtown Daytona Beach.
Amen. So I will definitely link all those things down in the description below if people can find you and find Identity Church. But thank you so much, Byron, for joining me on the Stop by Grace podcast. And for all those who are watching, the only reason you was here and the only reason you were listening is because you was
Stop by Grace.
New episodes are available every Monday on all streaming platforms. Video version also available on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe, like, and comment, and follow us on all social media platforms at Stop by Grace. God bless you.